Agenda item number seven, Mr. Harry Bowen Jr. Morning, Hank.
Good morning. How's everyone?
Tickled.
I told Chip earlier, it looks like the left wing is gone. Anyway.
Single wing offense.
Yeah, single wing today, yeah. Mr. Bowen requests authorization to lease approximately 10 acres of orchard planting ground in Hungers Creek near the Waverly subdivision in the Church Neck area of Northampton County. The project is protested by an adjacent property owner. Go to the location map. This is Hungers Creek. It's approximately 5 miles north of the town of Eastville and about two and a half miles from the town of Bird's Nest West. Again, this is an aerial showing our GIS leasing is in brown. All of our leases are in brown. Green are all of our applications in this particular area. And Mr. Bowen's application is up here. Waverly subdivision is right above it here. Hungers Creek has a large amount of clam and orchard aquaculture, mostly near the mouth of the creek. There is submerged aquatic vegetation near the mouth that continues into the creek, approximately a mile. Most of it ends in this general area here, from here out. There's no SAV in the applicant's area here. Water depths vary from approximately mean low water near the shoreline to minus 3 feet offshore. The bottom is mostly sand near the shoreline and transitions to a mud flat or mud offshore. Mr. Bowen has three leases in Aswaks Creek. One lease on the seaside near North Inlet, which is in the northern end of Hog Island Bay, for a total of 77.62 acres. He also has seven applications on the bay side of the eastern shore from Occoquan Creek down just south of Hungers Creek for a total of approximately 90 acres. And Mr. Bowen intends to grow aquaculture clams in this area. Got to go back through a little bit of history. Back in 2011, we received an orchard grant application from Ryan Cole and Mark Heath that included the area Mr. Bowen had applied for to lease. The application was protested by some of the riparian owners at the Waverly subdivision along with the association itself. Their concerns were navigation access from the property and the use of their waterfront. After meeting with the applicants, the protesters an agreement was reached. The protesters would drop their objections, provided the applicant stayed 200 feet channelward of mean low water. The applicants agreed, and the orchard grant was assigned, and that's this 26.58 acres here. You can see we stayed off 200 feet. That was the compromise in this particular case. On March 23rd of this year, we received an application from Mr. Bowen for the 200-foot wide area that was originally protested and not assigned to Mr. Cole or Mr. Heath. Mr. Bowen was informed by staff that we would not be able to support his request since Mr. Cole and Mr. Heath had previously agreed to move their application offshore to accommodate the waterfront owners. Mr. Bowen decided to continue his application, stating that the subdivision had not been developed and there are no homes along the lots facing the area he wants to lease. He's absolutely correct. There are no homes in this area here at all. In response to our public interest review, we received a protest from Mr. Jerry Lewis, who owns two of the riparian lots in Waverly. And he owns this lot here and this lot over here, these two. Mr. Lewis believes that the original 2011-2012 agreement to stay off 200 feet should be honored. He also applied for and has since been assigned a riparian orchard grant lease for 1.81 acres. This is Northampton County, so it's a quarter of your frontage versus your half acre that would apply in any other county in Virginia. This divides Mr. Bowen's application into two parcels. Mr. Lewis has also stated his neighbors may apply for their riparian orchard grant. There are three other lots Mr. Bowen's application would be adjacent to besides Mr. Lewis's two lots. No other lot owner has applied for his riparian area to lease at this time. So we have one, two, there may be, I think it's three lots in here. that potentially could apply for before it is assigned. And again, this is what Mr. Bowen is asking to lease, what you see in red. The next couple of shots are just along the shoreline, which I took last Thursday, I believe. Just looking to the north, to the south, and offshore. And this is an offshore corner of the adjacent lease right there. So Mr. Bowen would like to lease this 200 feet inside. Our summary and recommendation. When staff receives an oyster grant application protest, our policy has been to try and find common ground. If both parties are willing to compromise and an agreement can be reached, that appears acceptable to staff, a survey is made and the oyster grant is assigned. The commission only sees an application if staff cannot resolve the protest administratively or if there are other factors that staff cannot support, SAV, navigation, public use, etc. In this case, staff worked with both parties back in 2012, and a compromise was reached to not lease the area within 200 feet of the mean low water line, or mark, on this reach in Hungers Creek to Mr. Cole and Mr. Heath. Even though the area was not set aside, staff is in good faith cannot support leasing this area now, even though the area could grow clams and oysters. Therefore, based on Section 28.2607-1 of the code, staff believes it is in the public interest not to lease the area at this time. All that being said, some of this has changed. It's been 6-7 years. There has been no development, even though the lots have been sold, no development along here. This area will grow clams and oysters. So maybe the situation's changed. That would be up to y'all. But at staff's level, we feel like we need to honor the agreement that we worked out in 2011 and 12.
The questions from the commission. Mr. Zedrin.
Was the applicant for that original whole site, were they contacted?
No, they weren't. If this had been after July 1st of this year, they would have been. The law states that we do contact them, and we would have also have contacted all of the highland owners, but that law goes into effect in July. I will say that what I can tell, the Cole Heath lease has not been utilized.
Mr. Tackard,
would you go through again the rationale that you all used in 2011 and 12 to take us 200 foot off of shore or mean low water?
The concern back then was access from all these lots. And at that point, all this subdivision was, everything had been sold, and they were moving forward with potentially building homes on it, and they wanted access for piers and so forth. So by backing off 200 feet, it gave them the access that they would need to build their pier without going through someone's oyster grind, and that could create an issue in itself. They would potentially be held up for 12 months for the leaseholder to remove their oysters or clams in the particular area. Doesn't happen all the time. On the Eastern Shore, it seems to be a little easier to get your pier through someone else's oyster ground without as much hassle as you do in other places. But that was the rationale, is to stay off so we can get our piers in.
Follow-up question.
Mr. Tackard.
And who is Cole and Heath? Are they natives? Are they doing anything? Are they aquaculture people? Who are they?
Heath had some grind. I don't know if he still does. I'd have to look. In the lower part of Northampton County, Mr. Cole lives in the Virginia Beach area. I met them in Virginia Beach to talk about this.
Mr. Zedrin.
Was there any contact made with the other lot owners that are on the water to see if they used the water?
No, there was not. Again,
why not?
We would contact them as of July 1st, but by law that wasn't the case and had been policy since.
Mr. Zedrin, I can help answer that a little bit, kind of clarify things. We follow the Code of Virginia, and the Code of Virginia has had for decades specific advertising requirements for us. Going any further than that opens the door for protests, and the industry is subjected to expansive advertising beyond what the code requires. A bill was passed in the General Assembly, and it goes into effect July 1st, and it will have us notifying upland property owners and adjacent leaseholders. That's effective July 1st. Mr. Ballard.
I did not see Mr. Cole or Mr. Heath. They're not objecting to this at all.
No, they're not.
Okay.
Now, they haven't been notified either, so they would have seen it in the paper or posted, or they would have come down and noticed the stakes.
Right. And did I hear you say a second ago that you met with them, or was that referring
that was back
to?
Back to 2011, okay. 2012. It's my understanding. I don't see any activity in this particular lease that they have.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Hank. Mr. Bowen, present or represented? Please come forward, sir. I need to swear you in here, so please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Please state your name for the record. Welcome, sir. Yeah, please speak into the microphone. All our meetings are audio taped, and the meeting tapes are put on our website.
I have some photos, but I think Mr. Badger covered most of that. I was basically going to state that this the original development was subdivided in 2001, and there's at this point there are no homes at all, even in the process of being developed at all. There are no docks. Mr. Lewis owns the two lots. The other two lot owners do not live local. I think one lives in California and the one in Delaware. So there is no other activity on the property. I'd also like to state that the Mr. James lease, that was actually just applied for and that was granted to him. And so Mr. Lewis's protest, I guess, isn't consistent with, he did not protest a 200-foot setback on all of his property. It was just on this one section of his property. I'd also like to say I've been in the aquaculture business for 30 years. Like I said, I've been trying to expand. My son here with me, hopefully to take over the reins for me, and we're just trying to expand, and this is one area that I found that did not have any issues with property owners or docks or access or SAV. And so I just thought it'd be a good spot to expand the operation. And I think that's it. Unless I have any other questions.
Mr. Tackert.
So when you say expansion, Mr. Bowen, are you talking about aquaculture on bottom or caged aquaculture?
It would be strictly clam aquaculture on the bottom, no cage structures. So there wouldn't be any really aesthetics affected at all. It would just be a couple rows of clam beds.
Mr. Tackert.
And you're also, you don't worry about property owners in the future requesting a dock through your?
In the future, of course, I've one of my most productive leases in Nassauwax Creek is also a huge subdivision, and I've been growing clams there for about 10 years now, and so far, same issue, nobody's built anything there yet. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Cole Heath, Mark Heath, I've known him for my whole life. He used to work on the water. He doesn't anymore. He's a crane operator. He really doesn't live on the shore anymore. So, and Mr. Badger's right, there's been no activity on his lease at all.
Other questions from the commission?
No, he asked my questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter? Either pro or con? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. And I see Mr. Ballard's hand.
I think this is an interesting scenario and one I applaud Mr. Badger for really doing some research on this. It's got a lot of ends and a lot of twists. I think my opinion would be different if Mr. Cole or Mr. Heath were objecting themselves because they had originally applied for this area, struck the agreement, and in my mind, I would feel some need to give them this lease, but they have not objected, or not even in the business anymore, whereas Mr. Bowen is a responsible operator. been in the business for 30 years, is well known throughout the Eastern Shore as being a responsible aquaculturist. There has been no development on the upland. I, as is common on the Eastern Shore, I'm sure Mr. Bowen would be, well, he'd be required by law if they need to build a dock. They would have that right if that land is developed. And the Code of Virginia is pretty clear that the purpose of having these oyster leases is to propagate shellfish. So I would be in favor of granting Mr. Bowen the section of that lease that is available.
Mr. Zedrin.
I'm opposed to it because I don't think we can talk out of two sides of our mouth. You know, if you got the original guy, and their policy is that if you first in time is first in right. So they petitioned for that property. And then through efforts of the staff, like was talked about here, the compromise is reached, and the applicant then agreed and withdrew his lease to accommodate the landowners. And I hear you when you talk about we don't have to do this to July 1st, but the fact of the matter is we don't even know whether Mr. Heath and Mr. Cole even know about this hearing or know about the application, and that's why I asked, were they contacted? Well, we're not required to, so that don't mean that they knew about it. And for us to take an application, restrict it because there was an agreement, and then allow somebody to come back in here and take up that land, I think that's wrong. I think we need to stick to our guns. If we reach an agreement with these landowners, then we need to stick to their guns. If, on the other hand, if Mr. Cole and Mr. Heath were notified and the other property owners up there, I had property on a water. I never built anything, and I used it every weekend. So I just think, you know, if this 2012 agreement is not around, then fine. But it is, and it's still in effect. And so the deal is that property that is being applied for right now is part of an agreement that this commission was part of and negotiated. And I don't think we can just go behind it and say, forget it.
Mr. Ballard.
Certainly the 2012 agreement is an interesting piece of this. I do think it's important to delineate that wasn't an agreement not to lease this area. It was an agreement for the applicant to revise their application, if I understand correctly. So it was not an agreement where the commission said, we're going to set this area aside and not lease it. It was solely an agreement between the landowner and Colin Heath, and Colin Heath saying, hey, we'll just push offshore here and not lease this area. So in my mind, if the commission viewed this as good, leasable, productive ground and was something they were interested in leasing, Colin Heath would kind of have first right to that because they agreed to back off, but they're not in the business anymore. You're right, they haven't been notified. But I don't think we as a commission have actually made an agreement not to lease that ground. That was between the applicant and the upland owners. So at least that's my understanding of the way these have worked in the past.
Hank, you negotiated that situation?
Yes, sir.
Can you give us some details on how that all played out, please?
Pretty much. I think what happened there was we met with the high land owners, and they agreed that a couple hundred feet offshore would give them the right or give them the ability to build their piers. And at that point, back in 2011, I think they were expecting to have some activity down there by now or shortly after 2012. And Cole and Heath were willing to do that to get the rest of their application through without it being protested. We do this kind of compromise all day long, trying to work things out. The problem with trying to work things out is you leave slivers, you leave places open, and the way the industry is right now, if you can put a clam net in there, they're going to apply for it. So some of our slivers that we've worked out through the years are going to be in front of you in the future.
I got a question for him.
Mr. Zedrin.
Well, at the time you worked out the agreement, was it your intent to take that property away from Cole and Heath and allow somebody else to come in there and lease it?
No.
Thank you.
Mr. Tankard.
Yeah, one of the issues you have here is we're making accommodations and decisions based on the facts at hand, I think, is also what's going on. So I think the present tense is more pertinent than past. And a couple of things we do know is that Bowen has a history of good operation, making money. His family's done it for quite some time, many generations. We've got folks below them who applied for that ground but had no history really of aquaculture and local knowledge there. I think we have to remind ourselves that aquaculture is an important part of our economy as well. And so I think the public good is better served by leasing this to Mr. Bowen. I think we've seen with this development, the Waverly development's kind of, I think if my memory serves me, it kind of went bankrupt more or less. It was picked up again by Mr. Benson, I believe, for pennies on the dollar of what it was originally bought for, and still yet to see any development happen there. I think also part of the context when you think about is this is low water. I mean, this is not really dockable property in my mind. I mean, it's maybe Carolina skiff on high tide kind of.
That's why they needed 200 feet to get this in depth.
Mm-hmm. So I just think, the present tense is more pertinent, and I'd be in favor of leasing this to the Bowens.
Mr. Ballard.
I agree, and I'd also point out that I think it's important I think we're all kind of jaded by some of the experiences we've had in the Lynn Haven and some other areas. And when you look at this sliver and that it's right up against property, we all think, here we go again. I would point out that Northampton County in particular is very different. We saw the lease map a little bit ago of this creek, and having these leases right up against farmland and undeveloped land is very, very common, as opposed to in other areas where there's a lot more tension between landowners and users of the waterway. Just something to keep in mind.
Mr. Zito.
I would have no problem leasing it if we provided some notice to some people, and I know we don't have to. I'm going to move to table this matter and request that the commission notify the landowners that are on that piece of property that touched that lease, as well as Mr. Cole and Mr. Heath, and let's have this out in the open so that, and if they don't object or they don't come, that's fine with me, but I just think it's, I don't think it's right to reserve that land, and that's what happened here with the commission. They said, we're not going to lease that to anybody, and then, you know, here a few years later, they're going to go ahead and lease it because it's open. I think there's some due process here that I know we're not required to, but we should notify all those people because we're changing our position. And like I say, I have nothing against the applicant here, but I do feel that the landowners and that leaseholder need to be notified, and whether they come forward or not, that's their decision. And so I'm going to move to table this matter until the next meeting and ask that the commission notify those people that have joining the land, and also Mr. Heath and Mr. Cole.
So motion by Mr. Zedron to table this matter. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Mr. Neal.
And I'll say that I agree with John's sentiments, but also agree with what Chad and Tank have said. The commissioner hasn't expressed an opinion yet.
Oh, thank you. All right, well, I'll tell you what I think. I think that I am, as a general principle, loath to overturn previously negotiated lease area. Mr. Ballard is correct that this was not set aside by the commission, but this previous lease was negotiated out. I think staff deserves to know that when they negotiate these things, it's got a degree of significance and not permanence, but longevity. It's not written in stone. I don't want to get us in a position and establish a precedent where a lease application will be highly contentious and staff negotiates something that everybody can live with, and then a couple years later, people come in and say, well, that's a tenth of an acre, and I would like it. I don't want to get us to that point. On the other hand, this is a prime area for oyster, or for clam aquaculture, and a commonwealth where we are having less of this available because it's all been leased up, or a lot of it's been leased up. I think that I am moved by the testimony that Mr. Cole and Mr. Heath are not in the business and they're not working this lease. We have not heard from Mr. Lewis, who was prime when this came up just 5 years ago here, to be involved, and he is not. And the testimony or the observation here that this entire property has yet to be developed. Good clam aquaculture ground is hard to come by these days, and that's by dint of statute and practice. So that said, that's a long-winded wording to say that I understand your concerns, John and Ken, but I think that in this case I'm going to vote to approve this. Mr. Zeder.
My question is, what harm is it to notify those people? I mean, we're talking about a month.
Mr. Tanker.
Well, in as I understand it here and reading this, the review, Mr. Lewis has been notified. Am I incorrect in that, Mr. Badger?
Yes, he was notified.
Okay, so.
And that's what triggered his riparian.
No, wait. Clarification. Was notified of this application or the prior application?
Lewis was notified. Well, let me go back. Lewis was notified. He was not notified. He read the notice in the paper, and that's why he protested.
So then the question is, he was aware of this application, to your knowledge?
He definitely was, because he applied for his riparian, which is what states in the evaluation. He applied for his riparian, and that's what you see right here.
No, I'm misunderstanding. With this application by Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Was Mr. Lewis notified, or do you have knowledge of whether he was aware of this application?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because he took it out of his riparian, came out of this application because of the application itself.
Okay. So in fact, he did protest this.
Absolutely.
And then as a result of his protestation, he has his Lewis riparian area, we see there.
That's correct. Okay. And we could potentially get, before assignment, if these lot owners here decide that they want their quarter, they could come in and notch it out of this if it's prior to assignment. So that's still a possibility. On the other side, this portion could not be part of another riparian because that's part of Mr. Lewis's property.
Mr. Ballard.
And so while we don't have direct notice to all the individuals, we are operating under the same notification procedures that have been in place for decades and worked successfully. We are going to hear another case on the agenda where very similar, where someone applied for a lease, struck a deal, and now someone else is applying for it, but they read the paper, followed it, and are now here to object. And we're going to hear that shortly. So there is notification that's occurred. It's just not direct notification, as will be required.
This is also on our GIS system. If someone wanted to look on our mapping system, they could see the applications, as you can tell from what's wrong. Here. This is from our GIS, so they could pull this up tomorrow and see all of the applications. And a lot of times, because of this map, is where the protests come in nowadays.
I want to deviate a little bit here. There's a motion on the table by Mr. Zeter and second by Mr. Neal here to table this. I would like to give the applicant a chance to have a say, although we closed the public hearing. Mr. Bowen, do you have anything to add to this? Do you want to re-engage in this discussion? If so, please come forward.
Well, I guess one point I would like to make is the James lease, which was just signed earlier this month, was not protested. And so Mr. Lewis, which those two properties are for sale. It's not, and the Lewis riparian, we've been notified, I guess, that transfers with whoever the landowner is. But he in order to get your riparian, he's taking the entire shoreline width. And instead of taking portion on...
Mr. Bowen, would you please wander back to the microphone and say that?
I'm sorry. And And so on the instead of being able to taking up half his riparian on one piece of property and half on the other, he decided to take it up all on in the front of my application, and did not protest the James lease, which I would have assumed would have been the same 200 foot. If he had an issue with mine, I would have assumed he would have the same issue with the James application, which he was notified he knew about. And he did not protest that one at all. And I would have to say that both these properties are for sale.
Thank you, Mr. Bowen. Mr. Zedrin?
I'd have a different opinion had not the commission reached that deal with those property owners. That's what I think it makes the difference. If there was no agreement, no action by this commission on reserving that, basically, I would support it, and I, Mr. Tankard and Chad and everybody, I would agree with you. But I just feel that when we make a decision and we tell somebody that this is what the deal is, and then go behind them and you know, open the thing for lease, I think we have some ethical or some kind of duty to at least try to make things right. And here again, all I'm saying is let's notify these people. Contain it 1 month, and if nobody speaks up, fine, and I'm in favor of it. But because we stepped forward and reached this agreement, and staff was authorized to do that, their recommendation is don't lease it. And so you know, we're sending two messages down there to our staff. Here that they negotiated this, did a great job, you know, solved the problem, and here we're going to go right behind them and say, well, I hear what you did, but we're going to go ahead and lease it anyhow without any notice. And here again, I've got no problems if nobody says anything, but I think we need to notify those people, and I don't see the harm in it.
Mr. Batcher?
A little concern about notification. This may be for council. If we decide, or the commission decides, to notify the adjacent property owners and the leaseholder on this particular case, do we open up a can of worms for all the other ones that are like this that are prior to July 1st? Do all of those people have to be notified?
I don't think they have to be, no, especially if the commission requests that notification be given in this particular case. It is more than what's required by the statute, but I don't think it would create some blanket requirement.
That was some concern of ours that Benny and I had. If you open this up, does it open it up for all the other applications that are prior to July of this year?
So, backing up to Mr. Zedron's motion here, if this is tabled here for a notification provision, I think I would kind of be happier for the new law to kick into effect so that we're not establishing a precedent in the meantime that in a particular case we will go with expansive, uncode-sanctioned notification requirements. But if that's the case, the new law kicks into effect July 1st. This wouldn't come up before the board until the July 4th Tuesday in July.
Yeah.
Mr. Zedron.
I would amend my motion to table instead of next month to the July meeting.
Is the seconder of the motion amenable to an amendment?
Yes, that's for his change.
Mr. Stagg, you have 30 years' experience with all this. We would be foolish if we did not hear from you. So
I got him beat.
Well, that's true.
More experience. Okay, so when this law was going through the General Assembly, it's going to change the law on July 1. We asked a specific question: would this be retroactive? And it won't. And council can chime in here anytime. I think that's what you're getting ready to do here, is almost act like, well, we'll just wait till July and the law will now apply to this application. And it's my opinion that it won't. And the reason I put a bug in angst here was, while you could certainly do this on this case and have a rationale because of the previous agreement, I agree that that is another factor here. There was a previous agreement to back offshore here. I think you still, if you pass this motion, you open the door to, I have 436 pending applications. Now, not all of them are along the shoreline, but a lot of them are. And if every applicant, every property owner now thinks they can come to the commission, one single property owner, and say, none of my neighbors were notified about this. Can you table it for a month and have the commission notify every single landowner and come back? You're basically retroactively making this law apply to all our pending, who have gone through a public interest review. We did a public interest review on every single pending application per the code at the time. So that's just my fear that you might be opening a slight Pandora's box.
So I will
frame this just to this situation and the previous agreement. Perhaps that's okay.
Ms. Block, right. Help.
So the change in the law is not retroactive, and putting this off until July would not make it retroactive. Whether you put it off until July or not, the fact of the matter is this application was made before that law. The law is not retroactive. So you still are not required to do these notifications. However, I think if you, based on this particular situation, wanted to request that notice be made, I think that would be fine. I completely understand staff's concerns about making some sort of precedent or having other applicants want this same treatment, but I mean, if there's a lot of situations like this where there was a previous agreement that are coming up, maybe that has more weight than if it's just a lot of general applications that are on along the shoreline.
Thank you. Mr. Bell.
Again, I think it's important to keep in mind, having sat on at the table with many of these agreements with Hank, as one of the negotiators, I in no way, shape, or form believe that the commission is setting aside this area when I agree not to lease it. And I'm worried about that precedent more than I am any of the notification precedents, that we might be setting a precedent that when someone agrees not to lease a certain area, that it's considered set aside. And that would be a very, very dangerous precedent to set. In lots of cases, these negotiations occur. I think we did it over bagels one morning, and Hank is just there as a resource, and it's really a negotiation between property owner, adjacent leaseholder, and applicant. It's not a negotiation between applicant and VMRC. They're just there kind of mediating, helping to assist and provide factual takes. Am I correct in that?
That's correct. Yeah. We'll get in the middle of it if the negotiations start to fall apart, and I'll sit there and go, we can't support this, we can support this, and if we can come to an agreement, we do.
I got a question, then.
Mr. Zeidler.
So in this negotiation, did you tell the applicant, look, we're going to get you back off 200 feet, but we're going to go ahead and lease this to somebody else?
No.
And wouldn't you agree that it was fair to the applicant to assume from your negotiations that that 200 feet would not be leased?
Not for a while, anyway, yeah.
Mr. Packard.
But isn't it true, Hank, that when you do these negotiations, you're telling the fellow who wants to lease that, hey, I think this is what will fly. I think this is what will work. That's the context here. I think isn't that what's going on oftentimes?
That's correct. We do this constantly,
right?
Trying to work it out. And our feather, or a little bit of bait is, well, if you don't agree to it, we'll take it in front of the commission, and heaven knows where that will go.
Right.
That's usually how I put it.
So it's
a potent threat.
That's right. It is.
So it's kind of a negotiation, but it's kind of like, look, this is what will work today, and we think you might not have to go in front of the commission. Or.
And I think Mr. Ballard's correct. The commission doesn't like to set things aside. I understand it, because things change. 5 years, 10 years. I mean, we've set some areas aside for with a sunset clause for 10 years to reevaluate it after 10 years. And, you know, we may lease it after 10 years. And so we've, you know, the commission's got a lot of give and take here, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from staff's perspective, I didn't feel comfortable recommending leasing it without coming to the commission.
More? Mr. Ballard?
I'd just sort of reiterate that if Colin Heath were here and saying we want to lease that before Mr. Bowen, I would side with them 100% on it. But at the same time, we haven't heard from them. We are operating under the old notification procedures. Anyone involved in the industry knows to watch this thing. Anyone involved in the industry, we're going to hear a case in a minute where someone in the industry has watched and seen that a piece they just applied for and did one of these deals, someone else has tried to lease it, and they're here to oppose it. Anyone involved in the industry knows to look out for this type of thing and to watch for a piece of ground that they were negotiated out of at one point and to object to it. So it's pretty common.
One final comment, if you don't mind. The word gets out that negotiating doesn't mean anything, down the road, you're going to be seeing more applications come to you that, because they won't take the negotiation. They'll say, well, I want to go all the way to Shoreline because if I don't, someone else is going to apply for it later. Yeah, whatever that's worth.
Well, this has been a robust discussion. We have a motion by Mr. Zedron here to table this application until the July meeting, a second by Mr. Neal.
And it's notify the landowners and the leaseholders.
And to notify the upland landowners and the adjacent leaseholders. Any further discussion on the motion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
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 The chair votes no as well here. So the motion fails 4-2. Commission operates on motions. Mr. Tankard.
I'll make a motion that we grant this lease to the Bowens, Mr. Harry Bowen, Jr.
I'll second.
It's a motion by Mr. Tankard and a second by Mr. France to approve this 10-acre lease application, Mr. Harry Bowen. Discussion on that or new discussion, Mr. Neal?
Just a question. If we approve this, there is some time between now and when this is assigned where the other property owners would have a chance to apply for their riparian.
That's correct. So what you could potentially have is another piece knocked out here and potentially two other pieces. So it could be a lot smaller. Right now, it's probably around 6 acres.
And we know Lewis knows about this, and so I'm assuming he has the ability to inform the other landowners.
Okay. That's correct. Okay. So we have a motion by Mr. Tankard to approve this, second by Mr. France. Was that correct?
Yes.
Call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say no.
No.
Chair votes aye.
I did.
You eyed it?
I eyed it.
You eyed it?
Okay.
Motion passes 5-1. Application is approved.